Throughout Gaul, there are two classes of persons of definite account and dignity. As for the common folk, they are treated almost as slaves, venturing naught of themselves, never taken into counsel. The more part of them, oppressed as they are either by debt or by the heavy weight of tribute, or by the wrongdoing of the more powerful men, commit themselves in slavery to the nobles, who have, in fact, the same rights over them as masters over slaves. Of the two classes above mentioned, one consists of druids, the others of knights. The former are concerned with divine worship, the due performance of sacrifices, public and private, and the interpretation of ritual questions. A great number of young men gather around them for the sake of instruction and hold them in great honour. In fact, it is they who decide in almost all disputes, public and private, and if any crime has been committed, or murder done, or there is any disposes about succession or boundaries, they also decide it, determining rewards and penalties. If any person or people does not abide by their decision, they ban such from sacrifice, which is their heaviest penalty. Those that are so banned are reckoned as impious and criminal. All men move out of their path and shun their approach and conversation for fear they might get some harm from their contact, and no justice is done if they seek it. No distinction falls to their share. Of all these druids, one is chief, who has the highest authority among them. At his death, either any other that is preeminent in position succeeds, or if there be several of equal standing, they strive for the primacy by the vote of the druids, or sometimes even with armed force. These druids, at a certain time of the year, meet within the borders of the Carnutes, whose territory is reckoned as the centre of all Gaul, and sit in conclave in a consecrated spot. Thither assemble from every side all that have disputes, and they obey the decisions and judgments of the druids. It is believed that their rule of life was discovered in Britain and transferred thence to Gaul, and today those who would study the subject more accurately journey, as a rule, to Britain to learn it. The druids usually hold aloof from war and do not pay war taxes with the rest. They are excused from military service and exempt from all liabilities. Tempted by these great rewards, many young men assemble their own motion to receive their training. Many are sent by parents and relatives. Report says that in the schools of the druids they learn by heart a great number of verses, and therefore some persons remain 20 years under training. And they do not think it proper to commit these utterances to writing, although in almost other matters, and in their public and private accounts, they make use of Greek letters. I believe they have adopted the practice for two reasons: that they do not wish the rule to become common property, nor those who learn the rule to rely on writing and so neglect the cultivation of memory. And in fact, it does usually happen that the assistance of writing tends to relax the diligence of the student and the action of the memory. The cardinal doctrine which they seek to teach is that souls do not die, but after death pass from one to another, and this belief, as the fear of death is thereby cast aside, they hold to be of the greatest incentive to valour. Besides this, they have many discussions as touching the stars and their movements, the size of the universe and of the earth, the order of nature, the strength and the powers of immortal gods, and hand down their lore to the young men. The whole nation of the Gauls is greatly devoted to ritual observances, and for that reason, those who are smitten with the more grievous maladies and who are engaged in the perils of battle either sacrifice human victims or vow to do so, employing the druids as ministers for such sacrifices. They believe, in effect, that unless a man's life be paid, the majesty of the immortal gods may not be appeased, and in public as in private life, they observe an ordinance of sacrifices of the same kind. Others use figures of immense size whose limbs, woven out of twigs, they fill with living men and set on fire, and the men perish in a sheet of flame. They believe that the execution of those who have been caught in the act of theft or robbery or some crime is more pleasing to the immortal gods. But when the supply of such fails, they resort to the execution even of the innocent.